Hello and welcome to the Enjoy Church podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope this message empowers, equips, and helps you become everything God has called you to be. Enjoy the message.
Every now and again I get asked along the way if I could see from the beginning what Enjoy Church was going to become. It's a fair question because some people, they come and they talk to us about Enjoy like we've known what we've been doing. But how many of you know God has been doing a whole lot more than we've been doing? We've had a part to play, we've had a role to play, but what you see at Enjoy Church isn't necessarily really the fruit of Shane or Georgie or the leadership team or the vision of the board. It's like, yeah, we've contributed, but how many of you know, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. So if there be anything of God in the house, it's all because of God. We get to play a part, but really it's all because of God. The truth is, most of us start our faith journeys, and we're all on a faith journey in the same way. We're full of faith and expectation. Is there any faith in the house? Any expectation in the house? All right, so we're full of faith and we're full of expectation for just how and for what God may and what we're believing for may use us for as we move forward in Him. So we're full of faith and expectation, but most of us will only ever know in part what it is that God actually has in His mind for you and for your life. We don't get to know the end from the beginning in totality. God knows the end from the beginning. We will know in part, but not necessarily in full. God says it in Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. This is God speaking, praise the Lord. So while we may know in part what God has in His mind, only the Lord really knows the end from the beginning. You may think you do, but I promise you, you don't. We've got this book coming out in a few weeks' time, and it's like, what I find interesting about books is sometimes people write books in hindsight like they always knew. They didn't. They don't. If you think anyone at the beginning of the journey understood every step and what was going to happen along the way, then we're kidding ourselves. It doesn't work like that. It didn't work like that for me, and it doesn't work like that for God. You think about when David was anointed, did he know the full story? No. He knew in part, but not in full. He knew he was anointed to be a king, but that he didn't know the fullness thereof and just how God would use him. So while we may know in part what God has in mind, only the Lord truly knows the end from the beginning, and He'll make known His plans and His purposes to us in the fullness of time. Remember when the disciples asked Jesus if He was about to restore the kingdom to Israel, Acts chapter 1? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. Straight like that, bang, that's it. You guys want to know? It's not for you to know. In other words, what He was saying in the Australian version is, mind your own beeswax. Mind your own beeswax. That's where it's at. It's like, you don't need to know. But He'll certainly, this is what I love, He'll certainly tell us what we need to know when we need to know it, that His plans and His purposes for our lives might be accomplished here on earth. God has got a plan for His kingdom, and God has got a plan for you. And He'll let you know what you need to know when you need to know it. In Luke chapter 4, reading from verse 1, it says, Jesus, full, everyone say full. Full. Thank you for most of you participating this morning. Everyone say full.
Full.
Full. That's better. Isn't it interesting? Some words, as in a word like full, you can say full, or you can say full, and you can hear it. You can hear the difference. It's like full. God wants you to be full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants you to be full of Him. Jesus wants you to be full of the Spirit. That's why He said, I'll go to the Father, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and we will come and make our home in you. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we believe in a triune God, the Trinity. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days He was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, He was hungry. The devil said to Him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The devil led Him up to a high place and showed Him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And He said to Him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me and I can give it to anyone I want. So if you worship me, how many of you know that's what the enemy wants you to do? He just wants you to just turn from God and begin to worship him. So if you worship me, it will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Friends, I want to encourage you, the enemy is always looking for an opportune time in your life. He's looking to come, he's looking to rob, kill and destroy. He's just waiting for a moment, waiting for a moment. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Everyone say power. All right, so that's good. You guys are on. And so in the first verse that we read, it said he was full of the Spirit, but now we are in the power of the Spirit. How many of you know there's a difference? So the reason there's a difference is because the word is using different words. You can be full of the Spirit, but not necessarily walking in the power of the Spirit. And God wants us, as we transition from chapter 1 to chapter 2, to go from being full of the Spirit to walking in the power of the Spirit. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went to the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because, everyone say because. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to, he has anointed me to. He hasn't just anointed me so, oh, I can feel goosebumps. He hasn't just anointed me so, oh, the hair on the back of my head is standing up. Man, I look, whoop. Anyway, it's like, No. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim of the year 2024, the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. It's like, it's mic drop. Like that. Just, I'm out of here, all right. Gave it back to the attendant, sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Chapter 2, could it be that for most of us in this room today, that God, and in all of the rooms today, and all across Enjoy Church, that God would have such a transformation occur within each and every one of us, that just like Jesus, we would go from having God within us to God flowing from us. There's a difference between God in and God from. Praise God. God wants to pour himself in, but how many of you know you're not meant to turn into a big fat water jug? You know, it's like, that's not who you want to be. You want to be like a conduit for the things of God. You want to be a conduit for the things of heaven. But how many of you know, for most of us in this room, for that to be a reality, there's going to need to be a transformation occur on the inside. As long as you're thinking, it's about me. It's like, gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy. Bring it into me. We had our anointing service last week, but the anointing isn't just for you. Yes, the anointing is going to bring healing in your life. It's going to bring revelation to your life. It's going to cause you to prosper on the inside and on the outside, but the anointing isn't just for you. I think in some ways, maybe the Western world, and you look at a lot of our songs, they're all about God, what you're going to do for me. Me, me, me. It's like, it's not meant to be about me, me, me. It's meant to be about Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory to God in the highest. We're meant to be giving God praise with our lives. God wants us to have such a transformation occur that he would not only be on the inside, but he'd be able to flow to the outside. In many ways, in these verses in Luke chapter 4, they speak to us of Jesus turning the page. But more than just turning a page, I think Jesus is actually stepping from chapter 1 to chapter 2. His mum knew this day was coming. You know it as well as I do. His mum is like, how many of you know mums know stuff? Girls, you missed a perfect opportunity. That's why you were down there at Empire on Friday night. You know stuff. You're going to go check that new guy out. You're going to see what's going on. Praise God. Mamas know stuff. Amen, girls? Yes. Amen. Jesus' mum knew, and it's like, all right, all you attendants, you just do what he says. He's like, Mama, not yet. My time hasn't come. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but he's about to step from growing up to becoming the man of God, Jesus, Messiah, Savior, Lord. he's gonna step from preparation time to my time has come. I declare in Jesus' name over many of you in this room today, many of you in those auditoriums all around Enjoy Church today, your time has come. Your time has come. Your time. You don't need to wait another year. You don't need to wait another decade. You don't need another wait. Sometimes all the time waiting, like the guy for 38 years sitting beside that pool, waiting for the day. Friends, your day is here. Your time has come. This is the moment. Jesus' life turned not just a page, but into a new chapter. He was about to enter chapter 2 and begin to engage with his true purpose for life. Have you engaged yet with your true purpose? I know you're busy. Welcome to 2024 and being a human. How are you doing? I'm busy. We're all busy. But have you engaged with your true purpose for life? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and future. Friends, can I ask you, have you engaged with your true purpose? That's what's happening here. Jesus is now stepping into that. In verse 1 of Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus returning from the Jordan, and he was full, everyone say full. Full of the Holy Spirit. But after 40 days of praying and fasting and temptation, how many of you have been tempted recently? This morning? After 40 days of being tempted, praying, fasting, he's returning now in the power of the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference, friends, between being full, living a life full of the Spirit, and living a life in the power of the Spirit. Praise God, you've received Jesus. Most people in this room and in the rooms that are watching in today, you've received Jesus. Praise God for that. Praise God, you've received the Holy Spirit. And if you haven't, friends, can I encourage you, get baptized in the Holy Ghost. We need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to be. You're like, no, I'm good with Jesus. If you're good with Jesus, you'll be good with the Holy Spirit. Because he said, that's why he went back to the Father, that he might send the Holy Spirit. We need the person of the Holy Spirit. If you're not yet full of the Holy Spirit, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. But church, can I ask you today, are you walking and talking and living and breathing in the power of the Holy Spirit? Because you can have Jesus, yes. You can have the Word, yes. You can have the Holy Ghost, yes. But are you living and breathing? Is your existence, is your passion, is your zeal for the things of the Holy Ghost and living in the power of the Holy Spirit? Friends, make no mistake about it. If you have Jesus, you have the Word, and you have the Holy Spirit, you know what else you have? You have an assignment. You have an assignment. I promise you, as in there's not one person in this room, not one person could tell me that there's not an assignment connected to your life if you have Jesus, the Word, and the Spirit. You need to know what your assignment is. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, goes through 40 days of prayer and fasting and temptation, comes out in the power of the Spirit. But as he comes out of the wilderness to Galilee from chapter 1 into chapter 2 of his life, into the new season, he is completely aware of the why. So Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. For so many of us, chapter 1 has been about receiving Christ, abiding in his Word, stepping into the fullness of the freedom that comes in Christ and being full of the Spirit, that we might live as children of God. And I say, praise God for it all. How wonderful is all of that? But how many of you know there is a time when, as children, we're meant to go from children to becoming responsible? Now my time has come and I'm going to step into what God has got for me. So if you're in Christ and you've enjoyed chapter one, praise the Lord. But if you've been in Christ for more than a year or two, it's time for you to grow up now and start laying hold of chapter two. Because God doesn't just want to be in you, but he wants to move through you. God doesn't just want to fill you. He wants you to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be a church that's... How many of you would agree the world is getting darker? You know, some people are like, oh, that's going to... Friends, don't worry about how dark it is out there. Just worry about how the light is shining in you and how the fire is burning in you. We don't need to fear the darkness. The darkness needs to fear us. It's like, oh no, here come those torches again. They won't leave us alone. They keep ruining our party. Praise God. Chapter 2 isn't just about you. Chapter 2 is all about your calling and your purpose. It's about your assignment. In Luke chapter 14, verse 18 and 19, you're like, is this the third time we're going to read this? Well, I figure I can do it four times. God does it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because, everyone say because. Is the Spirit of the Lord upon you? Why? Because he has anointed me too. He hasn't just anointed, he anointed me to feel good, man. He anointed me to... What's he anointed you for? To preach the good news. He's anointed you too. He's anointed me too. Preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Chapter one was about me, but chapter two is about you and you out there. It's no longer about me. When I was a two-year-old, yeah, it was about me. It was about me. I want. But there comes a point where we've got to put the I wants down and say, Lord, what do you want? Why have you anointed me? What have you got for my life? Chapter one was all about getting full of the Holy Spirit. Chapter two is about living in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to step out and change the world. You are called to step out and change the world. He wants to get in you that he might move through you. How could have I had any idea 25 and a half years ago, how could I have had any idea as to what God was going to do in my life and in our life together? How could I have had any idea what God was wanting to do with us in the years to come from the beginning? Okay. I asked the question, but I got to tell you, you can have some idea. Not the big picture, not the fullness thereof, but God will give you an idea. And the reason he wants to give you an idea is so that you can put your shoulder to the plow and just start going to work. Now, it may end up being that, yeah, you're gonna own vineyards all over the world. But how many of you know, if you won't turn that first plot of soil, you're not going to own squat. A lot of people are like, I want to do this and I want to do that. Well, what are you doing today? Nothing. How many of you know nothing doesn't lead to the promises of God? God's got a plan for you. God's got a purpose for you. But as long as you're like sitting on the couch saying, Lord, bring it on in, he's going to be going, no Uber Eats in heaven. No Uber Eats. God's going to tell you in part. Most of you know the story. January, February 1998, I went on a 40-day fast because I was hungry and desperate to know what God had for us. Here's the thing. If you want to know what God has got for you, the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me too. You got to get hungry and desperate to hear from God. We were about to go into fasting time, and obviously the other locations are going to hear this one week in, but wherever you are, if you're fasting, can I encourage you, seek the Lord. Fasting isn't a challenge out there, a 5-kilo challenge the other day, and said, who wants to? Fasting is good to lose weight, but it's not about losing weight. Fasting is about hungering after God. It's about exchanging natural hunger for spiritual hunger, natural desire for spiritual desire. Friends, I want to encourage you today, get hungry for God. If you want to know what God has got for you, get hungry, get desperate in the presence of God. So I went on a 40-day fast. And it's like I would not recommend anybody go on a 40-day fast unless God calls you to it, because it's a real deal. But I was hungry to know, Lord, I want to know, what do you have for Georgie and I? What is it that you're calling us to? We got an idea, but what is it exactly? And at the end of 40 days, I was expecting, God didn't say anything, like nothing. He didn't turn up at all. Day 40, I was expecting the trumpets be at the end of the bed when I woke up. Nothing, not even good morning, Shane. Nothing. 8.5 months later is when I had my burning bush moment, my road to Damascus moment, where God turned up. And God said to me very, very, very clearly, I was in New South Wales, he said, go back, father your family, your church, your community, and your state. Now, Peter Scopes over there smiling at me because he knows this, and he would know the first 3 years that I was at Enjoy, I only mentioned family, church, community, and I said, there's one more. Now, I didn't know in totality what God was calling us to, but I knew in part. And the big part was I was to father. I was the father. I just had to turn up, put my shoulder to the plow, and begin to father. I didn't have to have the end worked out from the beginning. I just had to start. I returned from New South Wales. I walked in. Georgia said, so what are we doing? Because New South Wales wanted us to go plant a church up there. And I'd said no to them. In fact, I left the camp halfway through the week and said goodbye. I heard from God, and they're like, sure you did. And then I came back to Melbourne. And I came back to Gippsland, and I said to Georgia, we've got to wait. God's got something for us. 10 days later, the state president at that time called me, Pastor Phil Hills called me and said, we've got a broken church we think you and Georgie would be great for. When he said that, I knew this was it. I knew this was it. I said, whereabouts was it? And he said, in Keilor. I said, killer. And he said, no, Keilor. It was called Keilor Assembly of God. But I got to tell you, it was what God had for us. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I fasted and prayed for 40 days. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to be a father. Most of you know the story from there. Where, you know, I've had the opportunity to father my family, church, community, state. Became the state president, I don't know how many years later, 98, probably about 10 years later, became the state president. When I was state president, we planted 170 churches in Victoria. And the reason I say that is because it's amazing what God can do if you understand the Spirit of the Lord is upon me too. But I didn't know all of that at the beginning. All I knew is what I had to do today. And I tried to be faithful today. Because if I'm faithful today and I sow my life today, then tomorrow I'm going to reap. I may not understand it in totality, but I know I just got to keep turning up daily, keep turning up daily, keep turning up daily. And the Lord will go to work on our behalf. Even when we're sleeping, it's like the field is growing, the harvest is growing. But we're sleeping, but God is at work because we got our shoulder to the plow. Because we understand the Spirit of the Lord is upon us because not just for the sake of it. It's not just so we can have goosebumps and have our hair stand on its end. It's because there is purpose and there is reason for our life. God has got an assignment for me and God has got an assignment for you. But until we get serious and desperate and hungry in the presence of God, we're never going to tap into the fullness thereof. But if you would allow yourself to hunger and to thirst and to Lord, your zeal consumes me more than the KFC, more than Pizza Hut, more than I'm going to put that down for just a little while. I'm going to hunger after you. Well, you know the end result. God told me to father. 25 years on, this is what it looks like. This is what it looks like. A place where I've had the opportunity to father, and so have many of you. Where together we have done something. And I say something because we're far from finished. And in the fullness and the scheme of things, we haven't actually done a lot. But we have done something. And I feel like, for me, I've already stepped into chapter 2, but you know what? I'm stepping in again. I know many of you, you've already grown up. You've left your childish ways behind. You're laying hold of God. You've been doing it for years and for years. But as we step together corporately into chapter 2, can I encourage you again? Understand the reason why God has anointed you. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me too. The key for each of you, key for me, to unlocking chapter 2 is knowing the why God has anointed. Why has God anointed you? My encouragement to you as the worship team, oh, praise God, there He is right there. And the angel of the Lord came upon the platform. My encouragement to each of us is to get hungry and desperate for an encounter with God. I got to tell you, when we hit day 20, day 23, day 27 of that 40-day fast, and God wasn't speaking, I was a little disappointed. I expected fanfare. I expected angels to fill the room. No, I was just very, very hungry. Very hungry. And as But I gave it to God as an offering. Lord, I'm hungry. Lord, I'm desperate. I don't know how to do this. As I say, you read some books and it's like they always knew. I didn't know. We didn't know. When we turned up, truth is, we probably thought we knew a fair bit. But after 6 months, we realized we didn't know much at all. Actually, after 6 days, we don't know as much as we think. We need God. I need God. They need God. We need God. So my encouragement to you is to press in, to seek His face. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Why don't we stand to our feet? I'm going to pray for you in just a minute. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those. How many of you want to be blessed? Praise God. I take it everybody else doesn't want to be. How many of you want to be blessed? Blessed are those who hunger, thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. If you want a dumb it down version of righteousness, just think about what is right in God's eyes. What is right in God's eyes? Because that's where we want to live, isn't it? What is right in your eyes? We're going to hunger and thirst for what is right in your eyes, Lord. For they're going to be blessed. You're going to be filled. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Can we do a deal like 50-50? No, you can't. God doesn't want, Jesus hanging on the cross isn't like I'm going to go halfway here. He gave it all and He's looking for it all. We want to make everyone feel comfortable. I don't want to make you feel comfortable. I want to make you into a disciple. I want to make you into a warrior. I want to make you into someone who knocks down the gates of hell and goes in and sets the captives free. But for that, you've got to seek God with all your heart. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 and 10 say, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, what is very important is that you understand that the ask, the seek, and the knock is a continual. It's a continual. These words, if you go and you look at them and you break them down, it's not like you do it once and then it's going to happen. Do it once, it's going to happen. No, no, no. You gotta be like the widow going before the judge. Going, 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 going. You've got to be like the neighbor who has friends come in the middle of the night and he's got to get a meal for them. So he goes to his next door neighbor. How many of you have ever been the neighbor and tried to pretend you're asleep or I can't hear him knocking on the door? Anyone ever? Not you. You're the other guy. But he's like, I'm not going to stop knocking on your door until I get what I want. It's a continual ask. It's a continual seek. It's a continual knock. And according to Scripture, if you will continue to do these things, you ask, it will be given to you. Ask, 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 ask until knock, 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 knock. Seek, 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 seek. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to. I'm going to pray for every man and every woman in this room. Before I go there, I just want to say goodbye to all of our locations. God bless you. Have a great day in church today. We'll see you real soon. Back to the location, Pastor. God bless him. See you at Summit.